In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You're on a business trip and you're driving down the road with a coworker when you hit a bone-jarring pothole. And the coworker looks over at you and says, "Ooh, ouch." And you say, "Phew, it's all right. It's a rental." Seems that human nature is to care for something better when it's your own rather than belonging to someone else. We have some rather ugly expressions that reflect this idea. We say, "That team got beat like a rented mule." Or more horribly, "Beaten like a red-headed stepchild." If it's not your own, then you thought you're not going to care about it as much. And it seems that this is nothing new. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." This is unbelievably good news. Jesus, the good shepherd, does not treat you like a rented mule, like somebody else's sheep. He cares for you as one of his own sheep. Jesus loves you as his own. You belong to Jesus. You are the sheep. Jesus is the shepherd. So who is the wolf? It's the devil, of course. And the devil's always prowling, looking for another sheep to drag away and devour. And you're one of those sheep. And you're out in the field doing what sheep do, and you hear a noise in the grass, and you look up and you see the gray fur moving through the meadow. And you stare, and you see the wolf raise up his head and look directly at you. And you can see the hunger in his eyes. You can see his sharp teeth as he growls. You are in great danger. The wolf is coming to destroy you. The wolf is coming to tear you apart and consume you and leave nothing except a lifeless pile of bones. You panic. You don't know what to do. And the wolf senses your panic, confusion, and he pounces towards you, bounding over the grass in gigantic strides. And you freeze in fear and await certain death. The wolf is going to get you. But just as the wolf takes his final leap to snatch you, the shepherd steps in between you and the wolf. The shepherd blocks the wolf with his staff, and the wolf turns his attack onto the shepherd. The wolf's long, sharp teeth tear at the shepherd's flesh and bring forth blood and agony as the shepherd offers himself to the wolf in order to protect you. The shepherd continues to give himself to the wolf until the shepherd lies dead in the grass. In all this you watch, trembling with great fear. And now the shepherd is dead. The shepherd gave his life to protect you, but for what purpose? You are left all alone to face the wolf. And the wolf circles the dead shepherd for a few moments, and then he moves towards you, licking his lips, already tasting your flesh. And then incredibly, the shepherd is back. standing between you and the wolf. He has come back from the dead, and the wolf, seeing the resurrected shepherd, flees with his tail between his legs. Jesus is the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You see Jesus' love for you as he is willing to die to save you. Willingly, he lays down his life to redeem you. He lays down his life out of love for you. John talks about this love in the epistle reading today. He says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us." And then John teaches what it means to be one of the good shepherd's sheep. Since we know his love, in the same way, we are to love one another. John says, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Jesus cares for us as the good shepherd, not as a hired hand. We are to care for each other, not as hired hands, but out of great love for one another. We cannot treat each other like rented mules. We are certainly called to love our own. We're called to love and look after our families. We're called to care for our loved ones. The question is, who are your loved ones? In marriage, men promise to love their wives the way Christ loves the church. That's a heavy responsibility. If a man is out walking with his wife and a big angry dog approaches, the man's duty is to step between his wife and the dog and, if necessary, get bitten to protect his wife. As we mark the remembrance of the sinking of the Titanic this month on April the 15th, 1912, it's good to note the many men who gave up their place in the lifeboat in order to save the women and children. So who are your loved ones? As a follower of the Good Shepherd, as one for whom the Good Shepherd has laid down his life, you are called to love not only your family, but you are called to love one another. You cannot treat others as if they do not belong to you. You are united as sheep in the Good Shepherd's flock. These others belong to you, and you belong to them. You are called to lay down your life for your brothers and sisters. And while we pray it will not come down to actually having to die for one another, you are called to selflessly love one another, to give up your own desires in service to others. There's a great teaching about love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is often read at weddings, but this scripture is not particularly about married love. It's about how you are to love one another as fellow sheep in the flock of the Good Shepherd. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love supports without limits, trusts without limits, hopes without limits, never gives up. This is the love you are to have for each other because you have already been saved by the Good Shepherd. This is the kind of love you have for each other because you are already a part of the Good Shepherd's flock. The Good Shepherd is the one who has washed you clean and poured onto you his very name. The good shepherd is the one who feeds you with his very body and blood, the same body and blood that he offered to the wolf in your place. The good shepherd loves you because you are his own. And with the good shepherd, you are safe from the wolf. You're safe from the devil. The devil has no power to snatch you away or to scatter the flock. But the wolf does not give up easily. He will do all he can to stir up dissension among the sheep. He'll do all that he can to get the sheep to bite and harass each other. He will try to get you to treat others as if they don't belong to you. He'll tempt you to act like there is no shepherd. He'll entice sheep to run away from the good shepherd. He will accuse the sheep, telling you that since you are not able to perfectly love one another, that you must not really be the good shepherd's sheep. As you deal with others, the devil will try to get you to treat others like rented mules, instead of treasuring them as fellow sheep in the good shepherd's flock. The wolf will try all this, but the wolf has no standing. The wolf is powerless against the good shepherd. The wolf has been undone through the power of the cross of Christ. So do not give the wolf any leeway. Do not try to fight the wolf on your own as if you could go toe to toe with the Prince of Darkness. Do not engage with the wolf. You'll just end up a tasty snack for the evil one. Rather, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And when the devil comes prowling, when the devil comes stirring trouble, when the devil comes accusing, simply point him to Jesus. Point him to the good shepherd and say, I belong to him. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise to confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.